This is the operator. Just want to let you know that this call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Go ahead. You may begin.
Thank you, and welcome to our Tivoli Talk, Solving Customer Challenges with Big Fix. My name is Jim Katz, and I support worldwide sales enablement for Tivoli. On the phone today, we have Sandy Hawk, who is responsible for product marketing for Big Fix, and we also have Mark Finnick. Mark joined Big Fix in 2008 and has since increased his market's revenue by 1,000% while exceeding quota for the last six consecutive quarters. He currently covers Illinois, Wisconsin, and Missouri, and stands ready to help everyone on the call retire quota and increase 2010 commissions quickly. I'm going to turn this call over to you two.
Thanks, Jim. This is Sandy. It's great to be on the line. So, Mark, first off, why do clients buy Big Fix in the first place?
Great question, Sandy. So before I even answer it, let's back up. Let's agree, first of all, that there's no shortage of IT projects. And with that said, we also know that there's never enough time or people to handle every request within IT. So managers are always balancing requests that will either enable the business against those that simply keep the lights on. Patch management is a good example of the latter. It doesn't enable new business, but Gartner represents that even though virtually everyone has some sort of patching technology, it takes organizations 120 days or more to achieve a 90 to 95% patch success rate, and only 50 to 75% of the machines receive a patch within the first week. Conversely, using Big Fix, our clients achieve 99% first pass success rate, compressing those patch cycles from weeks or months to even hours, regardless of endpoint operating system, location, bandwidth, or connectivity. So given the fact that most organizations have something that somewhat addresses what Big Fix does, you might expect that virtually every Big Fix purchase constitutes augmenting or replacing incumbent technology where clients may already have some relationship with our competitors, particularly Microsoft, who includes their SCCM product with ELAs. These wins are most commonly driven by incumbent technology's inability to see, patch, and manage all of an organization's endpoints in a timely, cost-effective, and most importantly, resource-efficient manner across their highly distributed network. In other words, it can be done, but it takes months versus hours. So this unique value that we provide is exemplified in literally thousands of successful projects, ranging from expansion of one recent client to over 430,000 endpoints on a single server. Now, it's important to note that this client already had SCCM for free, but they were paying almost $25 million a year in support costs, and yet they were still missing critical patches. To other organizations where a recent customer of 38,000 machines patched 99% of their machines within 25 minutes of time, where it used to take literally weeks to achieve a 65% success rate. So long answer to your question, but clients buy Big Fix to deliver greater value back to the business at a lower run rate by freeing up resources for higher value projects as opposed to continuously struggling to keep machines current and secure. Even at our largest clients, it's not uncommon to find a single FTE managing hundreds of thousands of endpoints around the world from a single pane of glass and a single server.
Thanks, Mark. So Big Fix does a lot of functionality, a lot of applications. Do clients typically buy everything at once?
Well, since most clients, again, already have some sort of systems or security management, our success centers acutely on helping them complement what they already own to solve a point problem and subsequently enable them to turn on additional capabilities as business dictates. Now, that's done without adding any agents, consoles, or hardware. These capabilities would include patch management, power management, software usage metering, security configuration management, endpoint protection, or any policy that they'd like to create themselves. And once installed, what we find is that most clients extend their Big Fix ROI by replacing other competitive products when they come up for renewal, and as a result, eliminating hundreds of agents, consoles, and servers, plus all of their associated OPEX. But then again, the key here is finding an immediate business-relevant problem and expanding based on iterative ROI.
So that sounds great. If I'm interested in looking for opportunities to sell Big Fix solutions, who should I call?
Well, we'll typically find initial opportunities when talking with managers from IT operations, finance, security, compliance, asset management, or facilities. And to the extent that we're able, it's real important to talk with IT's internal clients to uncover what SLAs are in fact being met, which ones are being missed, and then helping IT increase their value back to the business.
So is that generally done in a proof of concept, or how does that work?
Well, initial conversations, we would be looking for various pain points. So it might be in the form of an initial phone conversation. It might be in the form of a presentation. But we want to elicit what problems the organization is facing. So those might start with simple cost saving initiatives where payback in months is paramount. We might hear things like they're missing patches or they're failing audits, or we know that there's a reduction in force. So we want to help them maintain SLAs with fewer staff. M&A activity is a compelling event for us, where processes and systems can be consolidated to reduce immediate costs. We might find an organization who fears the threat of outsourcing, where IT can immediately add value back to the business and start increasing or start meeting the SLAs that they've been missing. Compliance with regulatory mandates like PCI DSS, HIPAA, SOX, and so forth. And then lastly, it may simply be the case where there's a lack of visibility into what software is installed and how it's being used, where we can help asset managers reclaim underused licenses. A good example being if a client with 50,000 Visio licenses, they may find after using Big Fix that only 10% of them are actually editing files. So why spend all that money for the full license when they can reduce that down to only about 5,000 users?
So considering this list of pains and what problems Big Fix can solve, what do you think are the key characteristics that make an ideal Big Fix client?
Yeah, great question. So now we're qualifying out, right? Because everybody who hears this is motherhood and apple pie. So what we want to be doing is diligently qualifying to the following things. First of all, we want to listen for a desire to streamline processes and reduce cycles. Again, we can take a patch or an asset discovery cycle from months to hours. That extends to literally hundreds of different processes. We're looking for not only the ability to perform these tasks on Windows machines, but heterogeneous operating environments such as Macs and Unix environments and virtual machines, as well as applications. We're looking for organizations that not only want to patch Microsoft Office, but also Adobe, Java, Firefox, iTunes, any application that they might have within their organization. Key here is the more complex and the more distributed an enterprise is, the more of a fit it is for Big Fix. So we're always looking for organizations with remote locations, or in the case of retail, lots and lots of stores. And we're always keen on a very, very large mobile workforce where bandwidth is an issue. The key here is being able to ensure that all systems that the organization is able to see, patch, and manage all machines regardless of location. And then lastly, we're looking to talk with management who wants to equip their team with technology to remediate unanticipated events. So things like having the agility to remediate a zero-day event in minutes, or identify how many machines in the enterprise are Windows 7 compliant, simply by asking those with the appropriate amounts of memory, operating system, or video cards to identify themselves. What we're providing for is real-time visibility and control to ask any question or fix any configuration problem literally in minutes.
Wow, that sounds great. So what do you recommend we do as sellers to establish competitive advantage up front?
Mm-hmm. The first thing that we want to do is make sure that our champion perceives the problem they want to solve to be business relevant. So simply, one example might be with our power management solution, which is it's really simple to get your head around. We're selling money. You give me $10, I give you $50 in electricity savings. Those are arbitrary numbers. But the key here is if I'm talking to the wrong group, like IT operations, about power management, and electricity comes out of facilities, well, I'll go nowhere quickly. I might find a fan. I might even be asked to do a proof of concept. But at the end of the day, if electricity is not part of that group's budget, it's not going to get bought. So I need to find something for that audience, something like patch management or software distribution or security configuration management, or I need to start speaking with facilities. And in this scenario, it's not uncommon to align these different groups, in this case IT ops, with facilities so that IT gets what they want, but facilities funds that project by virtue of the savings. We also want to empathize with our client's situation. So, again, we're replacing things. They own something that's not meeting expectations, meaning somebody chose it, somebody approved it. That's a politically charged environment that requires some salesmanship and creativity around packaging and pricing, typically centered on solving a very specific problem, for example, missed patches or failing audits. It may mean coexisting with an existing product like SCCM, which doesn't provide real-time verification, and its agents may not always be responsive. So we may coexist to provide that real-time verification that it did what it's supposed to do, or keep those agents up and running. It may actually mean replacing a current product at a lower run rate. The secret sauce here is also to always lead with a proof of concept. Obviously, if somebody's going to give us an order, you know, without that, and it's just due course to just do a demo and get an order, great. But don't fear a proof of concept. This is where Big Fix shines over any technology. And as part of that proof of concept, not only do we want to focus in on the problems that we've documented and their monetary value, you know, as part of our selling cycle, we want to flush out current vulnerabilities and the ease by which we can remediate them. So we want to be able to promote the idea of showing them how many machines are in need of critical patches, how many of their endpoint agents are non-responsive or corrupted, how many of their definition files are out of date, what applications are unlicensed or unauthorized, and how often are they being used, the number of actual PCs deployed, what software is installed on them, and how it's being used, or how many PCs aren't encrypted despite encryption being installed. So any question or any task on an endpoint can be performed with Big Fix. This is key. Everyone else runs from these proof of concepts. But for Big Fix, this is how we win. We've been known for deploying 100,000 agents in a week, and we always encourage the client to test us in as complex and as distributed environment as possible.
Can you tell us some specific customer stories around how you won by validating the claims in a proof of concept?
I can. So much of what we just described in terms of showing them vulnerabilities, in terms of proving out the things they need to see, as part of a power management proof of concept, for example, we always monetize where they started electricity consumption. We use power meters to get a baseline. We then apply our policies, and over time we're able to show them exactly how much money we're going to save them. But to give you a feel for the type of customers that are using the product, I mentioned one earlier, the government agency. We always tell stories, there's lots and lots of anecdotes. So there's white papers, and on the website there's use cases, but we always tell stories about problems that are relevant for them. So, for example, if I'm talking to an organization that's constrained with resources but has lots of locations, I'll talk about how SunTrust Banks implemented Big Fix on 50,000 endpoints across 1,800 locations in 3 months with only 2 people, or how Entergy, since implementing Big Fix in 2004, they haven't missed a single SA, and they've deployed almost 5 million patches across their enterprise. Or I'll talk about TaxTech. TaxTech reduced their patch management FTEs from 20 to 1, freeing up time and resources for higher-value projects. And ultimately, when we're having these discussions, and when we're, you know, going through our proof of concept and through the business justification phase, it's really no different than selling anything else. It's about demonstrating an exact solution, monetizing its value with fast payback, and then presenting it in the form of a mutually agreeable price. In the process, we have to always remind them of their pain point that we documented during the POC. In other words, they may be getting SCCM for free, which they'll continually remind us of, but they're still missing patches, or they're still not getting software out to all the machines. So it's traditional selling, but we always lead with customer successes and proof of concepts.
So on the opposite side, when do you recommend that a seller walk away from a potential opportunity?
Yeah, great. And it's a hard thing for sellers to do, but I would say there's four scenarios. There may be more. First, when the client perceives absolutely no pain, and they're not willing to find any, that's going to go nowhere fast. So you qualify that out. Second, when there's no champion, because ultimately we're not doing the selling to the executives. We provide ammunition and business justification to our contacts, who internally socialize it, and then they go to the CFO or peers to get something done. So if there's no champion internally, that also is going to go nowhere quickly. Thirdly, when there's absolutely no access to money, if there's no access to funds, well, we've built a fan base. We're here to build customers. And then lastly, when their desktops or servers are being managed by a third party and the client has no influence on what gets installed. At the end of the day, we have to install an agent for that agent to ensure compliance with whatever policies those endpoints are supposed to facilitate.
Well, this has been a lot of great information, Mark. I appreciate you taking the time to share your success stories and what things you've learned by selling Big Fix as successfully as you have over the last few years. I want to turn things over to Jim. Jim, where can people find out more information about selling Big Fix?
Well, thanks, Sandy. There's three primary places. First, on the Software Sellers Workplace, we've got the Big Fix Sales Kit. Second, a great place to find more information is the Media Library, which will contain not only this talk, but Tivoli talks that revolve around Big Fix. And last but not least, please be sure and pay attention to the Tivoli talk invitations that come into your mailbox each week. They're very important, and of course, by actually being on a Tivoli Talk, you're able to ask your questions to a live person. So I guess in summation, I want to say thank you to Sandy and Mark for the very informative call. This is Jim Katz for Tivoli Sales Enablement saying good luck in your selling, and we really hope that you learned a lot today. Thank you.
Thanks.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines.